right now. We continue our series of interviews with the candidates running to become Wisconsin's next Supreme Court Justice.
When the primary election on February 20th rolls around, three candidates will be on the ballot, but only two will move on to the general election on April 3rd. The candidates are vying to replace Justice Michael Gableman, who announced last year that he would step down after his current 10-year term ends.
We're talking with each of the candidates this week. We turn now to Tim Burns. He's a Madison-based attorney and one of the three candidates running for Wisconsin's Supreme Court. He joins us from our studio in Milwaukee. Tim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for having me here. I'm excited to be here.
And why, first of all, are you running for a seat on Wisconsin's highest court?
Well, Rob, it's apparent to me that our democracy, both in our state and in our nation, is in danger. Wealth has been concentrated in our country just out of very different from anything we've seen in a century over the past 40 years. And it's weakened our democracy to the point that we've had a great recession that started to rival the Great Depression. And as a people, we elected a demagogue. And so I wanted to run for the Supreme Court because our courts have tremendous power in our country. Every major political issue comes before them. They take 40 to 50 cases a year in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and they use those cases to shape our economy and our political system. And I was concerned that the wrong people were shaping our economy and political system in the wrong way. And we were ending up with less opportunity, a lot less opportunity for children of people who struggle, that we were ending up with laws and court rulings concerning the photo ID law that cost Hillary Clinton the election. And I was also concerned that Donald Trump has been packing our federal court with young right-wing ideologues. And if we're going to have a protection for our rights, we would have to look at our state courts.
A lot of what you said sounds like something we might expect to hear from a candidate for a legislative post or a executive post. These Supreme Court races are officially nonpartisan, and you've been criticized for wearing your politics on the sleeve in this race. So what do you say to people who say, hey, keep the politics out of it?
Look, one of my great goals here, Rob, was to be absolutely candid with my fellow citizens. I believe in democracy, and I believe if a democracy is going to elect or appoint people to a powerful position, like a court, that those people have to be candid with voters about who they are, about what their political values are, because we all know that the political values impact decision-making on these high courts. If we just step back and think for a moment, Social Security, the minimum wage, the maximum workday, unemployment compensation, affordable health care, all of those laws had this in common. They were upheld by 5-4 decisions in the U.S. Supreme Court along political lines. Those were the very cornerstone of our protection of working families, and they almost failed in the courts. They were challenged and almost failed. We have to stop believing in this fairy tale of nonpartisan, non-political courts, because what it has meant is we've given the right wing of the Republican Party the opportunity to take over the courts by convincing people that even though a third of these court cases are about criminal procedure, criminal law, that's the business of the court. And it's simply wrong. These courts shape our economy and our political system, and they do it in a political way.
So if you are elected as a justice and a case comes before you, is your first thought, is this a law passed by the legislature in accord with the state's constitution, or does it meet your policy goals, your partisan policy goals? How do you weigh those two?
Look, I absolutely believe in the rule of law. I absolutely believe that in a democracy, judges need to make sure that the democracy, the people, through the legislature, write laws and make laws and have as much leeway as possible to do so well or do so badly. But there is a point at which judges must draw a line. And for me, that point comes down to really three or four instances where you can't let the legislature and the government just have a field day. And the first instance, if it's a specific provision of the Constitution that says no, that needs to be enforced. If, you know, constitutional values at stake and it's been trampled on, it needs to be enforced. Second instance is really those situations in which the legislature and the governor do something that impact the ability of democracy to fix it. A good example of that would be gerrymandering. If the legislature gerrymanders up a state in a radical fashion, it's hard to think that the legislature and governor is going to fix that. A court would have to intervene. The third instance would be when the legislature writes a law aimed at a group of people, say people of color, who historically have had little political power. Courts need to intervene. And I would just say my final point where courts have to really intervene, we cannot let democracy destroy itself by destroying our middle class economy, because I believe that a middle class economy is critical, mission critical for a democracy. So when you see laws aimed at workers' unions or small farms or small businesses, thriving diverse communities or public education, courts need to approach those laws with some careful scrutiny.
We're talking to Tim Burns, one of three candidates for Wisconsin's Supreme Court, with a primary election coming up later this month. And Tim, switching gears a bit, can you talk about your experience in the legal system that would help prepare you to be a Supreme Court justice?
I'm sure. In the legal system, let me start here. I am one of the top consumer insurance lawyers in the country. I have a national practice. I sue insurance companies all over the country and in some cases all over the world. And I do so sometimes in class actions for regular working people when the insurance industry steps out of line. But I also, because of my skills and experience, have been hired by numerous businesses, small and large. I know more about American business. I think it's safe to say than anyone who has sat on this court. And I know how to stand up to big business because I've spent the last quarter of a century doing it. But I haven't become a tool of business because of my background. I'm a strong Democrat and progressive because my grandparents were Mississippi sharecroppers and my father was forced out of school in the 5th grade by poverty and my mother in the 10th grade. And I realized the only reason that I'm here today is we had a great middle class economy when I grew up, with great public schools and great public libraries where the minimum wage was set to support a working family.
And Tim, I've been asking the candidates, when should a Supreme Court justice recuse him or herself in a case?
I am in full support of the retired judge petition that they filed, rules petition that they filed about this time last year, which said at the Supreme Court level, if party has contributed more than $10,000 to getting the judge elected. The judge shouldn't be sitting on the case. Look, we all know that with this Citizens United case, our democracy is for sale. Okay? We don't need our court system to look like it's for sale, too. But unfortunately, in Wisconsin, it very much looks like it's for sale.
Would, if someone called on you to recuse yourself, say, in a case involving a corporation or a minimum wage law, since you'd expressed political views on that outside of the court, what would you say to someone who said, okay, you should recuse yourself then?
Well, let me say this, that I would take every recusal motion very seriously and treat it like any other case. I would study the party's position and my understanding of the law and my own viewpoint. But I've also been extremely careful in this campaign to talk about my political values, but not go so far as to prejudge a concrete case. And it's prejudging a concrete case that leads to recusal. It isn't expressing a view on an issue.
We have to leave it there. Thanks to Tim Burns for joining us today. Tim Burns is a Madison-based attorney and one of three candidates running for Wisconsin's Supreme Court. We talked with Sauk County Circuit Court Judge Michael Skrenik yesterday. Tomorrow at this time, we'll hear from Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Rebecca Dallet. They're both also running for the same seat. If you miss any of these interviews, we'll have them all posted online at wisconsinvote.org.